As we ready our hearts and minds to receive the word of God, let us attend God in prayer. You do surprise us, God. Sometimes we are not ready for those surprises, but today we ask that you make us ready. Make our ears and our hearts attuned to your surprises that you have. As the word is read, a sermon is preached, help us hear what you have for us today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 17, verses 22 to 24. A poem of Israel exalted. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar, and I will set it out. I will break off a tender one from the topmost of its young twigs, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. And on the mountain, the height of Israel, I will plant it in order that it may produce boughs and bear fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will live every kind of bird. And in the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree, and I make high the low tree. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will accomplish it. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading comes from Matthew, chapter 13. It's going to be verses 31 and 32. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Some call it a parasite. Some call it the green menace. Some call it the foot a night vine. I think its unofficial motto is the vine that ate the south. Any of you know what I'm talking about? Kudzu, man, you're on it. I first really learned about kudzu when we lived in Atlanta. It grew bountifully in our backyard. I know it's here all over Virginia, all over the South, up. It's reached up into the Northeast, the Midwest. I think there's pockets of the Northwest it's really hit. Many of you know it's an ornamental vine, right, from Japan that came here in the late 19th century. And it is so difficult to thwart or kill because it adapts to the worst conditions and it grows so rapidly. Of course, it grows by damaging or killing all of the plants it covers on the way. It just smothers them in a blanket of leaves. Or even trees, kudzu will surround them and start breaking off the branches, and it has the power even to uproot them. Officially, in the U.S., it is categorized as an invasive weed. Hence, the reason that so many in recent years have noted the parallel between the mustard seed of Jesus' time and kudzu of our time. The mustard seed was a weed, like kudzu, an invasive one that folks largely did not like. Sure, there were benefits of what it grew, but the mustard seed had a terrible reputation among farmers because though they start so very small, before long, they take over your whole field. If one of these gets settled in your soil, you are in trouble if you are not incredibly diligent. And here Jesus comes along and says, you know what the kingdom of God is like? God's kingdom of unbounded love that was just sung. God's kingdom of abundant mercy. God's kingdom of generous justice. It's like an invasive weed. It's like a farmer who purposely plants that. Starts small, imperceptible, then takes over the whole field. And actually, Jesus goes further than that. He speaks of the mustard seed growing into a tree, which is definitely an exaggeration. Yes, a mustard seed would grow as large as 8 to 10 feet and be a large shrub, absolutely. And they very well could multiply and take over a field, yes. But one where it's a great tree where the birds of the air nest on these large branches, I mean, that's laying it on a bit thick. Until we realize, oh, that's not how a mustard seed grows, but Jesus, what he's doing there, he's pulling from some very familiar imagery in the Hebrew scriptures, but altering it in an important way. Throughout the Old Testament, the cedar tree is a primary way to speak of great empires. In Ezekiel chapter 31, the Assyrian Empire is spoken of as a great cedar tree. In Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar and the kingdom of Babylon are referred to as a great cedar tree. The passage that was read in Ezekiel 17, God says, I myself will plant the kingdom of Israel on a high and lofty mountain. On the height of Israel, I will plant it in order that it may produce boughs and bear fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it, every kind of bird will live, and its shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. Israel is envisioned in Ezekiel as a noble cedar planted by God, grown to such flourishing that it has strong branches, and birds of the air of every kind can rest and nest. So Jesus pulls that imagery of the birds and the airs nesting on the broad branches, imagery he knows his listeners know because this is a big promise in Scripture. But instead of saying the kingdom of God is like a cedar tree where the birds rest, he says the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, a shrub, a weed. Or maybe in our parlance, instead of going with the kingdom of God is like the great redwoods of California, the kingdom of God is kudzu. Same promise. The promise is great size, room for all the birds. Totally different image. Not cedar, but mustard seed. Why? Those of you who've had kudzu in your yard, maybe you have an idea as to what Jesus is up to. In Atlanta, the kudzu we had wasn't actually in our backyard. Our house in Atlanta had a beautiful backyard. The folks who lived there before us were not planning on moving, and so just a year or two before, they had re-landscaped it with gorgeous precision. I am not a green thumb at all. But folks who knew what they were talking about would come and see our backyard and they say, that is beautiful. Someone knew what they were doing. And they'd point out how these plants were next to these plants and these kind of trees and the shade hit over here for these, but then the sun hit over here for these. And they said, man, that's just laid out all perfectly. And then, of course, there was this extensive sprinkler system to keep it green, everything positioned just perfectly to keep all the different pieces right. So this great yard backs up to a fence. And then the fence, there's a big, vast expanse beyond the fence to these railroad tracks, about 100 feet. And even though that vast expanse beyond our fence was unkept, nothing land that didn't technically belong to us, it was property of the state of Georgia, I spent an incredible amount of time in that expanse because that is where the kudzu was. And the reason I was in that back portion of land beyond our yard because I was worried about our perfect yard. I could readily see kudzu was a threat to envelop the perfect space. Jesus could have said the kingdom of God is like a cedar tree and underscored the great nobility and strength of God's kingdom. But Jesus knows mustard seed makes clear the way God's strength works. It starts small, but it is looming over the horizon. It is winding, it is curling, it is moving, it is a growing threat to any and every status quo that is not of God. I think sometimes we fall into this trap and see God as this wonderful person to have in our lives, just on the other side of the backyard fence. And we'll go past the fence on Sundays and we'll meet with God. And maybe we have a big drought in our life and we need some nourishment from God, or just some things are going bad in life. We need to get over to God. But otherwise, we spend a lot of our time kind of organizing and manicuring and ordering and shaping our life as we like, as we see fit. Same with our society, as we see fit. And Jesus' mustard seed destroys the carefully delineated life. Nope, God does not just wait over here, waiting for you to come to God. The kingdom God is an invasive weed growing in your direction, and it doesn't stop until it becomes host of the entire ecosystem. Mustard seed declares God is relentless about coming for the whole yard, the whole heart, the whole of society. I mean, say what we will about church here, state here, spiritual here, political here, Sundays here, Mondays here. Mustard seed declares a God who is doggedly, dangerously, quietly, almost imperceptibly persistent and will not stop until host of all. Which is Jesus' goal? We know this, right? That every knee shall bow and tongue confess that Jesus is host, Lord. We have folks stand right up here when they join the church or they be baptized, become a Christian. They ask, do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? A whole bunch of you have done this. And to say yes is to affirm Jesus is host. Jesus is lead of my life, of the church. Implied in the yes is that there are certain things in my life, in our life, that will necessarily be taken over and choked out so that we might be healed and raised to new life. Implied in the yes is that we are open to the mustard seed growing freely around anything and everything until we are blanketed with the green of new creation. Implied in the yes is that we give up on maintaining the lawn, even some of the lawn that we love. Give up going out to chop God back from certain parts of our life and instead open ourselves every day anew to this host of life. What does it mean today that we confess Jesus as Lord? What has been painfully, lovingly choked that we might die to self and rise to the way of God? Or perhaps where do we keep even this day trying to chop back at God? Maybe we're fine that Jesus has grown over these different areas of our heart, our lives, our church, but don't touch the way we think about money. Don't touch how I want to carry on my conversations on social media, how I engage with the other political side. Don't touch my right to be a little judgmental about those folks because they deserve it. Don't press me. Don't cover me about this whole enemies and praying for them and blessing those who persecute you and annoy you and upset you and who do wrong. Don't go there. What does it mean for the church to confess Jesus is Lord? What must be painfully, lovingly choked that Jesus might be fully host to this whole ecosystem? We have manicured lines in the church just so and so beautiful. And what if the mustard seed of life is growing right in that direction? The mustard seed imagery is a savvy choice by Jesus because in one image, he threatens every status quo, even the most beautiful rose of vegetation. Every status quo that is not of God is threatened. At the very time, same image, he comforts every wayward soul, every wayward situation. And the comfort aspect becomes clear when Jesus talks about the birds of the air who will nest upon this great, large mustard shrub tree when it is grown. We heard earlier that the birds of the air imagery is found in the Old Testament. And as it turns out, birds of the air is not just some random imagery to say that a whole bunch of people will dwell on the house of God. Birds of the air was a term in Scripture used specifically to allude to Gentiles, people outside the chosen fold of God. Jesus knows what birds of the air imagery means to his listeners. He knows he is promising that this weed will grow to such proportions that those Gentiles who flutter around without shade or a home will have a home in God. The weed will not give up until the homeless to the ends of the earth have a home. At one point in my battle with kudzu, I discovered that since the area that it was growing in so quickly actually belong to the state of Georgia, I could call and request that the state of Georgia bring a bulldozer in and clear the whole area between my yard and the tracks. Just lay it fallow. Well, it took, as you might imagine, a number of phone calls, some persistence, but eventually the state of Georgia showed up unannounced with their bulldozer. But because it was unannounced and I did not know it was happening, I was not present. I was unable to tell them that they were busy actually clearing the entire area behind my neighbor's house. They missed us by one. Spectacular job with that area behind our neighbor's house. Total pancake of dirt, and then they sprayed it over with something. Missed my area entirely, and I was in the middle of trying to get them to come back when God called us to Richmond and Grace Covenant, and so, you know, the new folks are dealing. But back to my neighbors, who arrived from their work with a vastly different view of reality through their back window. Fortunately, they were very gracious, understanding. Actually, they ended up using the open space to build campfires and do grill outs with neighbors. It was great. But when we got back to Atlanta a couple years ago for a visit, I asked Philip, our neighbor, I said, how's that area behind the house? And he goes, fighting the kudzu. The dirt, barren, sprayed portion of land has what? It returned. If you are here today and you are fluttering, if you are in transition and you do not see a nesting landing site in sight, if you are homeless and you literally do not know where you will lay your head this night, if your marriage is strained and you do not really know the outcome, if you are between jobs and you do not honestly know what the next prospect is, if you are entering a new season of life after a major transition, after a death, if everything looks great on the outside today, but there is a deep groundlessness within. If you are a bird of the air without a nest, Jesus declares a word of comfort. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Even when the ground is utterly fallow, with no sign of growth, even when the tomb is closed for 3 days, the kingdom of God persists. Jesus will rise. Jesus does rise. God will persist until every heart and every land is covered in newness and nesting space is made plenty for those who have been fluttering around for so long. And neither persecution nor hypocrisy, apathy or political decisions, death or divorce, no bulldozer of any strength or tragedy can keep God from continually reaching forth in life toward you. God is relentless in making a home for the homeless. In fact, I invite you to take a look at the fallow dirt that is around you today. In recent days, or even today, is there perhaps even a bud of green on the horizon? Maybe it's through a certain person or a situation that has just started to emerge, or maybe it's even a generously faithful part of the church. Is the mustard seed on the move? To be sure, Jesus declares in the parable, God is faithful to advance the kingdom and provide a home. The church may or may not be faithful. The church sometimes gets caught up in manicuring its own yard, making sure the lines are straight and the edges are just so, and this is here and that is there. The church sometimes forgets that we exist for others to have a home, others to land. We exist that others fluttering in transition might nest as we have found a nest in God. But not God. God refuses to be unfaithful. A rabid, invasive weed that adapts even to the poor conditions of an unfaithful church. That is how God's kingdom works, so that even now, this very moment, the green space is advancing, expanding, extending. A home for the homeless. Jesus moves on from this parable. He tells a host of other parables in this section we won't look at today. But at the end of all of these parables, he looks at his followers and he says this, "Have you understood all this?" And they say, "Yes. Yes, we get your kingdom's like an invasive weed, both a threat and a comfort. To those with their way, their order, their lines, their beauty, their funding to keep everything just so, your kingdom's a threat to lines that are not of you. You will grow and choke out all of that until you are a host." We get it. And we get that for the homeless, you are searching, and the broken and the seeking. For the birds of the air, your kingdom is persistently pressing forward that they might have a home. In fact, we get that if a church is being faithful, we must too be foremost about that kind of heart. Yes, yes, Jesus, we have understood. So Jesus said to them, "Okay, therefore every scribe who's been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out his treasure of what is new and what is old." Jesus compares his followers to the master of a household who's lived in that house for so long that you know where everything is. You know where all the old stuff is, and you know where all the new stuff is, and you know the year when that happened and the year when that happened. You can bring out the new stuff and the old stuff, and you can talk about it and share about it because you're the master of the household. You know it inside and out. And Jesus is not simply asking, "Do you cognitively understand the mustard seed parable or the other ones?" But can you, like the master of a house, can you knowingly point to where you see its truth growing? Can you point out to those old familiar places of the heart or the church, the places that have always been the way they've always been? And can you point where new growth is weeding through? Like a master of a house, can you name it? And if you really understand, can you point to the new additions in the church or the city? Can you point to the new arenas where the kingdom of God is weeding through and taking over as host, where the homeless are finding a home? Can you name it? If you understand the parable Jesus said, we can truly bring out the old and the new and show one another where this invasive weed is on the move and choking even the beautiful things that need to go and laying a fresh layer for the homeless. And then seeing it, of course, we cannot help but do our part to water it. Because I think a church that gets this parable, not just here, but here, a church that can really point out all the ways the weed is growing and delight in what God is doing, the truth is that church, those people, they will redirect their sprinklers. All the water and effort we've been pouring into keeping the lawn gets redirected to the ugly and unsightly and home-building kudzu way of God. It scandalizes people within and without the church when the church chooses to sprinkle the cross-shaped, kudzu-growing beauty of God over every other kind of beauty. And yet the truth is, it is when a church has redirected its sprinklers that you know those people have not only understood the parable, they themselves have become the parable of good news. Amen.